Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks here in Branson, Missouri. And in the light of a terrible attack that happened in Bombay, India, Mumbai as it is now called, in which the only captive terrorist said, "We particularly targeted the Israelis," I wanted to bring out to you this week the terrible sin of anti-Semitism. The Lord said clearly in His Word in 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 32, chapter 10, verse 32, "Give no one offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles or nations, nor to the church of God." The Jews, the nations, and the church. The Bible gives us scriptures concerning these three groups of peoples. It tells us what will befall them, how they will be judged. And He says to the church, for all the Bible is for the church, but not all the Bible is about the church. The part of the Bible that's particularly about the born-again ecclesia, the body of Christ, are the New Testament letters. And in those letters, He says to the church, do not offend the Jews. So I cannot believe that any true born-again Christian brought about the atrocities as have been done under the sign of the cross. Now to me, what is anti-Semitism? It is Satan against God. Satan sees written in the Word of God God's promises for Israel, God's promises that whoever blesses Israel will be blessed, whoever curses Israel will be cursed, Genesis chapter 12. God's promises that He will scatter them, but He will bring them home to their own land just before the Messianic kingdom is set up, Jeremiah chapters 30 and 31, chapter 16. Ezekiel 36, all throughout the Bible, and every prophet speaks of, they are the sign of Jesus' return. Well, Satan doesn't want Jesus to return. Satan doesn't want them to come back to their land. Satan doesn't want what God said will happen as signs to the world. No, so he tries to prevent it. What he has always tried to do in history is to wipe out the Jews. To keep the church from coming into God's plan for it to be glorious, He tries to bring us into schisms and divisions so that we cannot stand the light and power that we must manifest to the earth before Jesus comes. But to the Jews, He's tried to wipe them out. And the most horrendous thing He's done is He's tried to do it under the sign of the cross. And He has been successful in some ways. There is a book. I wish we could get it for you. It's not in print. Dr. Lewis gave me this book, The Foot of Pride by Malcolm Hay, H-A-Y. We also got another copy by going online, out of print books. It's the pressure of Christendom on the people of Israel for 1900 years. It's written by a man, a Catholic, and he saw some of the things that had been done, and he looked into history and documented the crimes against the Jews. Now, I know that one of the reasons why this happened was they locked away the Bible. It seems to me that people followed Jesus for about 300 years, pretty simply, and then they began to argue over Satan. I say it like this. He decided he couldn't defeat the church from the outside, so he joined it. And they began to argue over doctrine, over how you were born again. Not how you were born again, but how you were saved. They argued that it was by baptism, that the water was something magical, some people said. And it so happened that an emperor of Rome, Constantine, supposedly, and I say supposedly because I doubt it, saw a sign in the heavens, a cross, a sword with a cross as a handle, and in this sign you will conquer. And he made then Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire. There was a certain day, I believe it was under Theodosius, that they said, tomorrow morning if you wake up, you will be, and you are a Roman citizen, you will be a Christian. So a lot of pagans woke up the next day proclaiming to the world that they were Christians. Now, anti-Semitism has much of its roots, and Satan was able to work so prolifically and on a powerful scale through so-called Christianity. Now, I doubt it is Christianity, because God's written word, which was locked up at the time during the Dark Ages, says don't even offend a Jew. But much of it began, and there is a man that's highly regarded, Saint John Chrysostom, spelled C-H-R-Y-S-O-T-O-M. I'm reading to you in the book, The Foot of Pride. The violence of the language used by Saint John Chrysostom in his homilies against the Jews has never been exceeded by any preacher whose sermons have been recorded. Some Christians were protesting that Jewish synagogues might be entitled to respect, because in them were kept the writings of Moses and the prophets. Saint John Chrysostom answered, "Not at all. This was a reason for hating them the more, because they use these books but willfully misunderstand their meaning. As for me, I hate the synagogue. I hate the Jews for the same reason." It is not difficult to imagine the effect such sermons must have had upon the congregations of these excitable people. Not only every synagogue, Chrysostom told them, but every Jew was a temple of the devil. "I would say the same things," he said, "about their souls." And he said a great deal more. It was unfit, he proclaimed, for Christians to associate with a people who had fallen into a condition lower than the vilest animals. Quote, "Debauchery and drunkenness had brought them to the level of the lusty goat and the pig. They know only one thing to satisfy their stomachs, to get drunk, to kill, and beat each other up like stage villains and coachmen. The clear implication in all this rhetoric is not that some Jews were living on the level of goats and pigs, but that all Jews lived thus because they were Jews. A variation of this theory has always been, and still is, one of the predominant principles of Judeophobia, and with a variety of applications, it is still acceptable, often subconsciously, by many people at the present time." Do you tell jokes about Jews? Do you have a funny... My little granddaughter told me that she was... she's 19 years old, is in the Tulsa area. She was in a group where there were, other young people her age, and they suddenly started telling Jewish jokes. And she stood up for the Jews, and the others were shocked. But sometimes we little realize how much anti-Semitism and its terrible implications have filtered down into society even today. "All Jews," John Chrysostom said, "are condemned by God to a real hell on earth. They are condemned to a misery which should endure as long as the world lasts. To the Jews," he said, "your situation," quote, "O Jewish people, becomes more and more disastrous, and one cannot see showing on your foreheads the slightest ray of hope." Now, in these dark ages, and medieval Christendom welcomed the remarks of John Chrysostom, and it became, he was called by those Christians of that day, the golden-mouthed God. And he said, "For many centuries, the Jews listened to the echo of these three words of Saint John Chrysostom, the golden-mouthed, quote, God hates you." Now, this persevered. It became the, belief that the Jews were to be allowed to exist, but that they must exist in a very horrible way. They were to show that the Bible was true because it was a Jewish people, but they were to be made to suffer. You weren't supposed to kill them, but you were to make them suffer. I was recently in France. This is my third trip to speak quite supernaturally at a Lutheran church built by Napoleon. I was sent there by God to preach and teach why the Jews, why Christians should bless Israel. It was so supernatural. I explained it on my radio program recently about how we were in this church in the first place. And our time is running out, so I think I'm going to save that story for tomorrow. But it was a very up-to-date indication of the horrors of anti-Semitism and what it has brought to the world. If you want to read in the Bible God's promise to bring the Jews home, read Jeremiah chapter 30 and 31. And in those chapters, God says that he's going to bring the Jews home. And there's a very, very telling scripture there, a verse. He says, "I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Then he says, "I will save you from afar." And in verse 11, "I am with you to save you, though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you." Verse 16, "All they that devour you shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity. They that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee I will give for a prey." From the beginning, Satan has been working through nations. He has been working through people. He has been working through, I'm sorry to say it, churches, people, crusaders, people marching behind a cross, and has left a horrible picture in the minds of Jews of what Christianity and Jesus is about. I'm going to tomorrow tell you what happened just recently along this line, what I learned in France. We have for you this week the book by Norma Archbold, The Green Horse, subtitled The Bible and Islam. So informative. She's written it in that wonderful style like she wrote The Mountains of Israel. We have it for you for $8 plus shipping. Just telephone us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. You can visit us online at billybrim.org, BILLYEBRIM.ORG. And there also you can catch up on the broadcasts and what we've been talking about. Anti-Semitism. Don't let it be a part of your life. Shalom.